I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll preview the League Cup final between Sunderland and Manchester City. We'll pick out the best Premier League games of the weekend. We'll hear from Nicky Henderson ahead of next month's Cheltenham Festival. And Lee Peters will bring us the latest rugby news. But we'll start with the first major football cup final of the season as Manchester City take on Sunderland at Wembley in the conclusion of the League Cup. Sunderland, of course, have caused some big shocks along the way, knocking out both Chelsea and Manchester United. And their defender, Wes Brown, says another shock isn't beyond the realms of possibility.
We're going to have to play to our best form. It's a big pitch and we're going to have to play to our best form to get a result there. But, you know, we've done it before and I'm sure, you know, anything can happen on its day. And as long as we work hard and do what the manager wants us to do, we've got a great chance.
Well, the Manchester City boss, Manuel Pellegrini, says his side deserves to win a trophy this season for the way they've been performing.
Well, very happy if we achieve it, because I think it reflects all your work from the year. This is our first possibility. I think we play a very good Capital One Cup, and very important to win that cup, and also in the way we play.
Well, Sunderland have no fresh injury worries ahead of the game. Liam Bridcutt is cup-tied, so he won't be able to perform. He played for Brighton earlier in the competition. As for Manchester City, they'll be without defender Matija Nastasic and forward Stevan Jovetic, but they do welcome back Sergio Aguero after five matches out with injury. City, of course, the overwhelming favourites to win this one, but it is worth bearing in mind that they couldn't beat Wigan in last season's FA Cup final, so Sunderland will hope that they can cause yet more final pain for Manchester City. Should be a cracker, whichever way it works out. Well, now on to the Premier League, and in the 3 o'clock kickoffs, the title race will take a few more twists and turns because Chelsea are away at Fulham in a West London derby. Fulham fighting for their lives under their new manager Felix Magath. Chelsea, of course, looking to maintain top spot in the Premier League. Arsenal away to Stoke. Arsenal, of course, recently so disappointing in the Champions League, losing 2-0 at home to Bayern Munich. So this very much is a great opportunity for silverware this season. If Arsenal can maintain their consistency, Stoke relegation threatened and in desperate need of 3 points. So it'll be a tough test for Arsenal, that one. One of the Premier League's form teams, West Ham, go to Everton. The Hammers have won their last four matches. Everton, of course, have lost a bit of ground in recent weeks in the race for the top four, so that should be a cracker. Newcastle are looking for back-to-back wins, and they visit Hull City, who had started to drop down the table, but that recent 4-0 win at Cardiff has given them a real boost. Massive test for Liverpool as they go to Southampton. That's the evening kickoff. Liverpool, of course, scoring plenty of goals, but conceding plenty as well. They lost to Southampton at Anfield earlier in the season, and Southampton on a high after four of their players were named in the England squad. To take on Denmark in a friendly. Luke Shaw winning his first call-up, the left-back. Also call-ups for Jay Rodriguez, Adam Lallana and Ricky Lambert. I think this will be a really tough game for Liverpool, and if they can come through this one with a win, then that's a massive step forward in their title push. Let's move on to Sunday's games and the Paul Lambert derby, if you like, between Aston Villa and Norwich. His new side Villa taking on his old side Norwich. Norwich boosted by that superb 1-0 win against Spurs last weekend. They're looking for back-to-back wins. Villa just starting to slip into the dogfight again after a poor run of form. They really are failing to get results, especially at home. And if they lose this one, then they really are in big trouble. Elsewhere, Swansea against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace vastly improved under Tony Pulis, and they'll look to take advantage of any fatigue from Swansea, who, of course, were away at Napoli on Thursday in the Europa League and really worked hard, but ultimately were defeated. And Tottenham, fresh from that superb Europa League comeback against Dnipro. They're at home to Cardiff, who really are struggling under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And Tottenham, having lost at Norwich to drop 6 points behind Liverpool in the race for the Champions League, really do need a result. Well, now let's switch our attention to racing. And the Cheltenham Festival is approaching fast. And our man Charlie Owens has the latest.
Well, thanks, Kev. And with the Cheltenham Festival set to begin in less than a fortnight, we're going to continue with our look at the teams that have been sent out to compete from the most powerful yards. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard from Irish trainer Willie Mullins and also Somerset-based Paul Nichols. Well, this week, it's time to hear from the festival's winning most trainer, Nicky Henderson. Now, even though his stable has suffered a recent blow with the decision not to run reigning two-mile champion chaser sprinter Sacra, now that's due to an irregular heartbeat, he still has a very powerful team that includes last year's Gold Cup winner Bobsworth, the highly rated challenger for the champion hurdle, My Ten to a Years, and the very interesting novice chaser, Oscar Whiskey. Well, our reporter Mike Vince caught up with Nicky Henderson on Wednesday just gone, when the stable was holding their annual pre-Cheltenham Festival open day.
But the last 2 years, we've probably said the strongest ever, and you'd have to say this year, probably not. You know, it's not like last year or the year before, but I would prefer to have the other boys with us, but we've got cover for them.
Plenty, and numerically very strong. I mean, you're talking, what, 30-plus, hopefully?
Yeah, it's usually about the same, yeah.
And clearly, with all the big races now, lots of chances. If we may start, let's start with Bobsworth. I know it's at the end of the week, but terrific scenes 12 months ago, and goes there a worthy favourite to repeat the dose.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was the best horse last year. Silviano Conti, you know, did fall when you'd have to say he was going to be first or second. He's been in great form, Silviano, this year, so I think he's almost certainly the horse I'd be the most frightened of. And I think the one plus we do have is that Cheltenham Hill plays to Bob's strength, and he loves it.
And his record around Cheltenham's, of course, is impeccable.
That's because of the hill. He gallops up that like nothing on earth.
And we start with a champion hurdle. You know what it's like, obviously, to have won it. But is this as good a champion hurdle as you can remember? People are saying it really is a vintage renewal.
I think it's certainly very, very open. But I think it's open because there are half a dozen very good horses. I think we're one of them. But it's going to, yeah, whatever wins this, he's going to be a true champion.
How would you compare My Ten to yours with some of the previous champion hurdle winners that you've had?
I think he's right up there, to be honest with you, yeah. He's you know, he's a fully matured horse now. He's got the speed, he's got the technique. Good ground is probably helpful to him, but we've forgotten what good ground looks like. We haven't seen it for 3 months.
Clearly the fly, the one to beat.
You have to. He is number one, and he's entitled to be that. And, you know, everybody tries to pick holes in him, but he comes back every year to defy, you know, here and in Punchestown. You know, he is the best horse. But they're pretty close behind him, I suspect, but I still think he's the one they've all got to contend with. And be it in Ireland or in England, there's two strong teams.
And sadly, without your main star, you still have major chances, into my eyes, in what is now a wide-open champion chase.
It is open. I mean, Sada Grugy looks the obvious horse. Kid Cassidy did beat him at Cheltenham, but we were getting quite a bit of weight. But Captain Conan, he is good. And, I mean, I think he's a genuine two-mile horse. And if he was back to his... Somehow, you know, I'm starting to get there. He did look as if he was going to beat Sada Grugy at Sandown at the beginning of the season. But, you know, he's in good shape, and he was going to run in it anyway. So it moves him, sadly, one up the pecking order anyway to have a crack.
We don't read much into that. We've only seen him the once this year, from your point of view.
I had a little blip with him in the middle of the season, health-wise, and various issues. Nothing, no lamenesses or anything. And he's had a good preparation.
And at last, Oscar Whiskey runs over his optimum trip. The thoughts that you needed a Ryanair hurdle are over, and at last you can run him over 2.5.
Yeah, and we've gone chasing a bit late in the day with him, but he's had everything's gone well. He's won twice, he's won three now. He's won at Cheltenham, he won a Grade One at Sandown, and he's in good form. And he's ready to, as I say, he was placed in the champion hurdle, and didn't stay in the stairs. 2.5 over hurdles is made for him. I think he won five round there. And he's won over fences round there twice. So he's, you know, it is his trip.
Excited about the chasers, the hurdle of your novices. Which discipline do you go
nice
with more hope?
Hurdlers, whether they're, you know, up for it now, they're the future. And that you always want, because it's the future is where you've got to keep looking. but the novice hurdlers look nice, and in which case they're the future, even if they're not for this year, but I hope they are for this year.
Well, now with the latest from the world of rugby union, here's Lee Peters.
Well, in Aviva's Rugby Premiership, Northampton will look to stay at the top of the table when they welcome Gloucester to Franklin's Gardens. Jim Mallander's team are up after Saracens' trip to Bath on Friday night and will look to record their 11th consecutive Premiership win, having last failed to beat their opposition in early October when they drew at Leicester Tigers. Gloucester, though, are the only team to defeat the Saints this season when they won 26 points to 24 back in September. Harlequins will look to get back to winning ways after last week's loss to Gloucester. Quins come up against bottom side Worcester Warriors, who have lost each and every one of their 15 games this season. London Irish have won their last two trips on the road and will look for a repeat performance when they visit Exeter. After losing their last two games, London Wasps host Sale Sharks at Adams Park. And the action is rounded off on Sunday as Newcastle welcome Leicester Tigers to Kingston Park. Now, the Six Nations may be taking a break this weekend, but last week's results have set up a fascinating last two rounds of games. With a four-way tie at the top, there's plenty to play for, and England coach Stuart Lancaster has been speaking to the RFU podcast Simon Ward on that thrilling win over Ireland and England's preparations for the games against Wales and Italy.
Stuart, beating the All Blacks in November 2012, beating Ireland in February 2014, what for you is the most significant marker of the way that Lancaster's England is now developing?
Good question. I think obviously the Ireland one was right up there because of the confidence they had coming at the side, you know, the respect we have for their coaching team, the experience they had in their team, and it was just a really good, intense Test match, and to come out on the right side of it with such an inexperienced team was, you know, puts it right up there for me. But doesn't count for much now. It's all done, and you know, we need to move on.
As we get nearer to this Wales game, of course, everybody is going to be talking about that last game at the Millennium. Will you use that in any part to motivate this team? Do you need to use that?
For me, it's more about improving our performance and understanding how to play against different teams. You know, Ireland defend differently to Wales, who defend differently to New Zealand. So Wales present a different threat. You know, the way they're organised defensively is outstanding. You know, they're very hard side to break down. They get you on the counter-attack. Your discipline has to be excellent, because if it's not, then Halfpenny builds a score. And so it goes on. And they've got, you know, an outstanding back row and a good front five. So, you know, they're a good team. And you don't, you know, you take the lessons you've learned from previous games, but you can't build your whole strategy around something that happened 12 months ago. You've got to build it on the here and now and where we are and where they're as a team.
Discipline you mentioned there and was critical last Saturday. You know, Johnny Sexton, like Lee Halfpenny, can turn a scoreline round on you so quickly. You must have been delighted with the way that your team concentrated on the fact that they didn't upset the referee.
Yeah, I thought the referee was excellent, and you know, I spoke to him after the game and gave him huge credit for the way he managed the game. You know, I thought he was excellent, and but equally, you know, we've worked hard and pride ourselves in our discipline, and I guess probably epitomised in that 2 minute spell of defence towards the end of the game, where, you know, we made good decisions at the breakdown. We didn't make any poor decisions. We didn't go off our feet and try and kill the ball. You know, we're comfortable in our defensive system, and we held out and didn't give them anything. You know, you're never going to go away with a zero penalty count in a game, but it was a pretty low one for us, and you know, we need to make sure we build on that going into the game with Romain Poit refereeing on week on Sunday.
Lastly, Stuart, you looked to get extra connection with the crowd with the walk into the stadium. Did it work for you? Did you feel that extra buzz? I mean, the noise level, I have never heard anything like that. It obviously made an impact on the team.
Yeah, I don't think it's just one thing. You know, whilst obviously it was great to do that extra walk, I think generally people in England are recognising the fact that there's a team there to be proud about, and we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it either. And I think you know, it does make a big difference to players. You know, if it feels like the country's behind them, and I think the players are working hard to develop the respect of the England sporting public, and it's something we want to continue.
Well, that's it for this week. From myself, Kevin Hatchard, and the rest of the team from the Ultimate Sports Podcast, it's goodbye for now.